Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/stuffpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a free title and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/stuffpodcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We talk all things Star Wars. My name is David.
I'm Sam.
I'm Ray.
I'm Rudy.
And what a huge week we had in Star Wars. I mean, from gaming to park news, which Sam has, and Ray actually visited Galaxy's Edge, and she's got a lot of to talk about there. And we also bought, I think we also completed a costume, Sam's costume behind him, the Short Trooper, and I got some Star Wars stuff, and so did Rudy, and I completed the Light of the Jedi novel this morning, right before the podcast, so lots of exciting news, and the first thing that happened after we last recorded was the fact that not LucasArts, but Lucas Games is back, and it seems like they're back in a big way. And I think it's a thing that we've all been kind of clamoring for, to have LucasArts back and have that whole team come back, because they were developing games like 1313. They had what seemed like a lot of plans that just kind of just ended abruptly. And I think we're all kind of hoping for maybe like a TV show or a movie involving 1313, because it involved underworld stuff. And of course, we got The Mandalorian with kind of like the underbelly. We saw a little bit of that, and maybe some like HUD action, maybe some of the criminal underworld. I know Guillermo del Toro was kind of talking about maybe doing a gangster film with Jabba the Hutt, but yeah, we have Lucasfilm games, and the logo is actually pretty cool. I'll put it up on the screen right now. That's and cool. The word games fits like really easily in there. And Sam, what are your thoughts on Lucasfilm games?
Oh, I mean, this is what I've been waiting for. I think we've all been waiting for it. I mean, regardless of your opinions on the Battlefront games, I think they definitely got better the longer they were out. It was definitely, you know, a little bit of contention about loot crates and all that stuff. So I'm glad to see them opening the floor. We got Ubisoft, and we got Bethesda working on Indiana Jones and Star Wars open world. So, I mean, come on. Who doesn't want an open world Star Wars game? Ubisoft, come on. So there you go,
Rudy.
So it's really exciting, and reading more into it, I went to starwars.com, and so what they did was they just opened up the contract for other developers. I think Ubisoft used Massive Entertainment, which brought us Far Cry 3, The Division 1 and 2, which are very immersive games in their own right. And I think that's what Star Wars was looking for, was for a developer to be to make that immersive game that fans wanted. And one of the cool things that I read was that, you know, the developers didn't just come in and say, hey, this is my idea for a game, this is what I want to do, you know, what do you think? The developers for Massive Entertainment actually spent a year working with the Lucasfilm games and creators, and making sure that they're crafting the story the way it should be told and the way it needs to be told, which I thought was really cool, and really kudos to Massive Entertainment and Ubisoft for taking that attention to detail, especially for the people who love the Star Wars games. But I do have to say, Fallen Order kind of set the standard in terms of graphics and immersion. So if they don't meet to what Fallen Order has given us, it's going to be a letdown in some fans' eyes.
And Ray, what are your thoughts on it?
Honestly, I've never been into video games. I wasn't allowed to play them as a kid, so I was stuck with the CD-ROM games being really cool. But, I mean, a lot of my friends play them, and so I know they're super excited.
Yo, did you ever play, like, Lego Star Wars for the PC? That's how I got into Lego Star Wars.
No, I think I think we only had Barbie games.
Gotcha. I grew up in a Nintendo, in a Nintendo family, and they released the first Lego Star Wars game on Xbox and PlayStation and not on GameCube. And so they released it on PC. So I had a joystick, and that was my intro to Lego Star Wars. They ended up releasing it later on GameCube, but there you go. There's my little birth to Star Wars video games.
Yeah, I think I'm the rare person in that I really liked Battlefront 1 and 2. And I know there's all that controversy with like the purchasing mechanism of the game, and they considered it gambling and whatnot, but they got rid of it. But I know Collins played a lot of Battlefront, and he unlocked a whole bunch of stuff. yeah, he got borderline obsessed with it, and he did play with some of our listeners, and I played it with a couple of listeners randomly. But I'm super excited for Ubisoft. Ubisoft is one of the bigger game companies, and they have made a lot of my favorite games. I mean, you talk about like all these, I have a picture up here, all these different types of games that they made. Assassin's Creed, they're responsible for the Tom Clancy games. I think that's pretty much what I've known them from. But for them to make an open world game and to like kind of journey into that, I know Assassin's Creed is fairly open world, so I'm not quite sure how open world they're gonna go. When I hear open world, I think of games like World of Warcraft and Skyrim, and you can really get lost in those games. And I'm all for that, but it's like, it's going to be a time suck. It's going to eat away a lot of my life if I get like really involved.
Well, I mean, that'll be the question, because obviously with Star Wars, you have multiple planets. And so the question is going to be, how much are they going to explore that, right? I think we know with Lego Star Wars, at least Skywalker Saga. Sorry to go back to Lego Star Wars. But that's supposed to be like open world in the sense where you can go to all these different planets and explore things. But that's a huge undertaking for like a Star Wars open world. So clearly they could do like, you know, a Mos Eisley or something, right, pretty easily and make that open world. Mm-hmm. Or Coruscant. I mean, Coruscant GTA, anyone?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I saw a few people make those comments.
So that'd be sweet. That'd be really cool. But yeah, I'm hopeful, but it'll be interesting because I know like No Man's Sky, when that first opened, that was huge open world, but like you got to go to all these planets, but there's nothing there. And now since years later, that game is phenomenal. But when it released, it was very, very empty. I think obviously with a Star Wars open world game, it would be more established and it wouldn't be as broad as No Man's Sky.
Yeah, people were, the first thing I heard when they announced it was people were thinking of like a Star Wars version of GTA, which would be cool in its own right. But then I started thinking about maybe like a Ghost of Tsushima kind of a game where it's like a young Jedi Knight trying to make his way through, and every decision you make either leads towards light or dark. And that one's an open world concept, but it's not like a crazy Skyrim or World of Warcraft open world. So it's gonna be kind of interesting how they do it and how they play with the story and which direction they're gonna go. There's also a chance with all the hype on the High Republic that we might see the game actually take place in that timeline versus what we've seen so far.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. We don't really know anything about it other than it's happening. So
yeah,
once we learn more, obviously there's so many different routes they could go. They can make an infinite number of open world Star Wars games. Are you going to be a bounty hunter? Are you going to be a Jedi? Are you going to be, you know, a smuggler? Who knows, right? Yeah. Or maybe you get to choose, you know? That'd be cool,
too.
Yeah, it's just, it feels like Lucasfilm now is kind of like giving us exactly what I think a lot of fans have been asking for. I mean, with The Mandalorian and with The High Republic starting a brand new series, brand new characters, and now with gaming and opening it up to other developers as well. So EA is still going to be involved. So they're still going to make, they're probably going to make what was that last game called?
Fallen Order.
Yeah. So they're probably going to make a sequel. I know it's not official yet, but it's pretty much official that, yeah, a sequel is going to come out. And I'm thinking there's going to be another Battlefront type game coming out as well. And to me, I actually love that game. I didn't play it as much as I wanted to, but it seems like they're going to open the floor up because EA had like an exclusive contract. Them and who made the Lego games?
I'm not sure.
Really good question. I'm trying to like
think they had a con- yeah, they had a contract and EA had a contract, I believe. Unless EA made the Lego games, but yeah, it just seems like we're going to get exactly what we're looking for as far as Star Wars games, because I think there's only been the time period between Disney purchasing Lucasfilm till now. I think that's been that span of time we've gotten the least amount of Star Wars games that we've ever seen during the time period that Star Wars has pretty much existed.
Well, from my understanding, when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, they downsized the Lucasfilm games down to like the bare minimum staff until they can actually, and they focused in on the key areas like the film portion of Lucasfilm and series and stuff like that. And now they're coming back to the game portion and, you know, starting to rebuild that brand itself. And I think I saw a video where the Lucasfilm game brand that they just went to now is actually an older brand that they used before, and they're just reverting back to it.
Well, I know the older brand was LucasArts, and I think they totally abolished that, and they basically kind of just got rid of that whole like division of Lucasfilm, or it's a division of Lucasfilm. But now it seems like it's kind of back, so it's going to be interesting to see if. And it doesn't feel like they're going to start publishing games. It feels like they're just going to work with other game publishers.
Which is 100% what they should do. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Give Bethesda, give Ubisoft like full reign pretty much, you know, as long as they stay
inside of Star Wars. And they're giving Bethesda an Indiana Jones game.
Yeah, I know. That was enough. Yeah, they actually have a teaser trailer for that. So that's at least further along the line.
Yeah.
You might see that, you know, next couple of years. Maybe 2022 at the earliest, I would say.
And that's supposed to be like at the height of Indiana Jones's career. So probably somewhere in between, you know, Temple of Doom and Raiders of the Lost Ark is when we're going to see that character.
Imagine like raiding dungeons and stuff like Skyrim, but as Indiana Jones.
See, I think that's exactly what we're going to get. We're going to get that in combination with Uncharted. I think it's going to be a huge hit. And with Bethesda and they're basically going to be owned by Xbox as well. So I'm not sure if that's going to affect what kind of like platform it's going to be released on, but it should be PC and Xbox for sure.
Well, Disney's probably going to make them go across all platforms. I mean, there's not going to be Disney's not going to single out just, you know, you can make it on Xbox and PC, but you know, not PS5 or PS4 or whatever. They're going to have to go across all platforms.
Yeah, unless they strike up a serious deal, my thought is it'll be Xbox, PlayStation. Probably won't get on Switch. It just won't. There's a, you know, it's hard to develop a game for Nintendo platforms because of the difficulties with, you know, working with that hardware.
Yeah. So, in other news that dropped, are you guys into the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I figured you'd say that. Just about everyone is. I mean, it's been a smash hit, and the person behind the MCU, of course, is Kevin Feige. I think pretty much everyone knows that. And I'm a huge Kevin Feige fan. And when he was announced that he was going to produce a Star Wars film, I was just like, "Wow, it's what is this going to be?" It feels like it's going to be something original trilogy. We don't know exactly what the details are yet, but he was doing WandaVision press, and he was asked multiple times if he was involved in any capacity with Star Wars besides him producing this new film, and he pretty much said not at all, and he gave very short answers to that, and each interviewer that asked him just kind of moved on from that. But there's almost like this conspiracy theory that Kevin Feige is somehow kind of steering Star Wars in a certain way, and I wouldn't be mad about that because I think the dude is just, he makes all the right moves with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I know he's a huge Star Wars fan. And I just want to get your thoughts on Kevin Feige and what you guys think about him.
I wouldn't go as far as saying that he's directing Star Wars in a certain direction, but I would say that Star Wars is taking stuff from the MCU to kind of build their brand a little bit because it's proven to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think they're trying to build off the MCU formula in a way, and that's what they're going to do with Star Wars, because clearly it worked for the MCU. And I said this a couple weeks ago, but my only worry with that is I hope the Star Wars content does not get stale. I hope they have enough, you know, really, really solid people working on these projects that it ends up being just really solid stuff. MCU was shockingly solid all the way through. Like, I mean, if you watch the first, you know, sequence of the MCU films, they're all pretty solid, but they definitely do get stale, you know, maybe 2/3 of the way in the production, they kind of got a little stale. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Star Wars, but even so, I mean, the fact that they were able to pull off Endgame and stuff, and it was still really freaking good, shows that I think that's not a bad formula to follow.
Right.
Yeah. I think because he's coming from Marvel, he obviously knows about the Marvel snipers, so he's good at keeping secrets. So regardless of his level of involvement, I don't think we'd hear anything for a while.
Yeah, it's super funny to see him in these interviews, and when he's asked questions where, of course, it'd be obvious spoilers if he answered, he just either just doesn't say anything or kind of just like gives a look or says it's basically a spoiler. But I mean, it's just, I mean, he is probably, it's tough to kind of judge Kathleen Kennedy's and Kevin Feige's career and see them side by side, because I mean, you have Kathleen Kennedy, because they're basically either 1A, 1B, and best all-time producers. And I mean, Kathleen Kennedy's responsible for so many epic and classic films. And then Kevin Feige has the unprecedented 22 film MCU, and they're working under the same roof. They work for Disney. Essentially, they report to the same person. And Bob Iger, and now Bob Chapek, and Alan Horn. I think Alan Horn's actually retiring here pretty soon. But I almost feel like Jon Favreau, who's really, I'm not sure how close he is with Kevin Feige, but of course he kicked off the MCU with Kevin Feige, and he earned his trust. And Jon Favreau directed Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and he also produced a lot of the MCU films. So I'm pretty sure that Favreau was kind of mentored by Kevin Feige, even though I think Kevin Feige's younger than Jon Favreau. I'm not quite sure on that, but I know Kevin Feige, a lot like Jon Favreau, is a super fan. He told a story on the Nerdist podcast about 3-4 years ago that when Back to the Future 2 came out, he actually ditched school. He took like a cab, I think, with his friend to a theater that they really wanted to see it at. And they knew a lot of stuff ahead of time. And while they were in line waiting to get into the theater, they were actually waiting in line with their pants pockets turned inside out, because they knew that was going to be a thing in the film. And people didn't realize what they were doing. And that's how big of a fan he was of Back to the Future. And of course, he used the same composer for Back to the Future, Alan Silvestri, on his on Avengers, right? All the Avengers films.
Yep.
Used Alan Silvestri. And I think the dude is he just like underrated, it feels like to me. I know I'm like gushing over this guy, but yeah, I'm just a huge fan of his. And he strikes me a lot like Favreau. And to have him in Star Wars, he's already across the hall, but it's like, he's got these massive responsibilities and this massive story that he's planned out for Marvel. It's like, how does he have the time to even produce a Star Wars film? I don't know. But
so yeah, like to Sam's point, like Marvel has so much content. Like, I mean, the comic books that Marvel has out there, like there's so much content that they can play off of, but there's only so much that Disney's going to make. Cause some of the comics get pretty dark. And they go down some weird paths. So there's, like Sam said, like some of the content does get a little stale, especially within these last 22 movies. I mean, it's the same story told over and over again. But I think with Star Wars releasing The High Republic, and if Light of the Jedi is the baseline for the content that they're going to create on the big screen, I think we're going down a good path, because all the content I've read so far, it's fresh, it's new. It still connects to what we've seen, but it's still so new that it keeps everybody entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the line of books that have been released since 2014 that are canon, I think there's enough content there to take those stories and make TV shows and films out of.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen Kennedy in the Investor Day call talked about 25,000 years of Star Wars history. The history's there, but of course it's EU and Legends. And I know Rudy's reading the Darth Plagueis book, and yeah, that's by James Luceno. And that's a very, very fan favorited book. And I think we're all kind of wanting to see Plagueis on the big screen or on a TV show and see young Palpatine and see how all that kind of came together. Knights of the Old Republic, the video game. I mean, that's super ripe to be a TV show. I mean, there's so much content there. I mean, you could just adapt the video game. And to me, I think that would be like one of the first adaptations from a video game that would actually be really great, because I think people cite maybe one or two films or TV shows that have been adapted from a video game, which is, that's like kind of like the running joke in Hollywood. It's like you get a video game and then you want to adapt it. I mean, you look at Assassin's Creed from Ubisoft. That wasn't that great, even though it did star Michael Fassbender, who a lot of people want to see play Thrawn live action. So
the rumor is that they actually hired the guy who voiced them in Rebels, Lars Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Lars Mikkelsen's
brother. So supposedly the rumor, and James told me this the other day at work, that they've casted him. It's just not confirmed yet.
Yeah. I haven't heard from any of the people that, and the sources that I trust, that that's actually true. I posted it on our Facebook group page, and it would make a lot of sense. Lars Mikkelsen is a working actor, and he is the voice a lot like how Katie Sackhoff is the voice in Clone Wars and Rebels for Bo-Katan. I mean, Lars Mikkelsen is the voice of Thrawn in Rebels. So it'd make a lot of sense to me if they got Lars Mikkelsen. But of course, we're all kind of assuming that Thrawn's going to be the big bad, kind of like Thanos and the MCU, and you'd figure they want to get a really huge name for that role. So I don't know. It's kind of up in the air. Dave Filoni had Rosario Dawson in mind to play Ahsoka Tano a while back in live action. So I guess the question is, does he have anyone in mind now to play Thrawn? And how good of a relationship does he have? And what kind of relationship does he have with Lars Mikkelsen? I know a lot of, I put out a poll on Twitter, and I think most of the people said Lars Mikkelsen should reprise his role in live action. I don't know. What do you guys think, Sam and Ray?
I think that's generally a good plan. If the voice actor can do it for any part, I think that should be the first option. But I mean, if they're completely not the right like body shape or facial features to play that character, then, you know, I would say not. But obviously they already know the character and they've already performed the character as that character. They are that character in a way. So I think that's definitely should be the first person to look at.
Yeah, because you want somebody to visually look like the character, you also want them to sound like the character. And I almost think that sounding like the character like trumps looking like them, at least to me. Because if you see somebody that you've seen in a bunch of different places, like with Ahsoka in animation and then in live action, and she just sounds completely different, it won't really like flow together with like the visuals, because she's already gonna look different going from animation to live action. So the visual isn't like super important. Obviously you want to look somewhat close to the character, but I feel like keeping a consistent voice is a really good idea.
As long as Thrawn's blue, we're good. Yeah. I mean, in a way, right? I mean, we don't really know what he looks like. You know, you could interpret him in a different way. As long as he's a blue guy with short hair, you're good.
I don't know. I mean, this is where Feige might come into play with Favreau's relationship with him, because he might be able to tap Benedict Cumberbatch for the role.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing a lot of people saying. Which, I mean, that's cool. That's cool.
I mean, he. If you look at his role as Khan in Star Wars, I mean, he can conquer the role of Thrawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie, by the way. Into Darkness, Star Trek. A lot of people didn't like it. I don't understand why, but I don't know. But yeah, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch, I really like him as an actor. I mean, he was Smaug in the Hobbit trilogy as well, and he's done a lot of stuff. And last podcast, there was a listener that brought up the fact that there's all these actors that are up to play Thrawn, and they've all also played Sherlock Holmes as well in some form of capacity.
Yeah.
And someone brought up Henry Cavill, and he's played Sherlock as well in Enola Holmes and on the Netflix show. So yeah, it's kind of a weird correlation there. I don't think Michael Fassbender has played Sherlock, has he?
No, I don't think he has. And Cavill's role as Sherlock Holmes and on Enola Holmes, you didn't really get to see a lot of what Sherlock Holmes is in that movie because it was based off of his sister. But you're right, he did play Sherlock, and so did Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't think that there's much Benedict can't do acting-wise.
I agree.
Like, he was Smaug and Sherlock, and he also played the Grinch in the kids' movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a pretty big range. I think you could fit just about anything in there.
Well, he also has that classical training too, so he can have that very educated, you know, kind of sound to him as well.
Yeah.
It was also an Imitation Game and was great in that role too. That was a
fantastic movie.
Yeah, he's got my vote, so there you go.
So the Imitation Game, who else was in that? I'm trying to...
Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was really the only bigger name in that movie was Keira Knightley.
There was another British actor who's like one of those British actors who's in every British TV show, but I can't recall his name.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the same five British actors.
Exactly. One of those actors.
Yeah, there's actually, now that you bring that up, there's an actor in Rogue One who I was just like, channel surfing like years ago, and he was on like a PBS show, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, that's that one guy. But yeah, I don't quite know, I don't remember his name, but he's he was the main officer. Of course he was British, and yeah, he's just one of those guys, if you see his face you know him. But I'm pretty sure he's coming back to Andor, because he would definitely be a ranking officer in that series. And there was actually pictures taken of a set, and a fan posted them, and they thought it was the Obi-Wan set, but apparently it's the Andor set. And I think you were showing me pictures earlier, Sam, of that set, and it's from a long range away, so you really can't make out much.
Yeah, it's in from Buckinghamshire, England. I'm pretty sure it's Andor.
Yeah,
it's a full like city. You know, so to me, it looks like they're setting up for a shot that's like a long shot down some thing, which would make sense for like Andor, because, you know, spy movie or whatever. So having a sequence or something where they're kind of making their way, because it's basically a long like street shot. But yeah, super cool. It looks awesome, whatever it is, and it's Star Wars, so we're gonna see it.
So.
So in other news, Kevin Kiner has been confirmed to be returning to score The Bad Batch, who has scored everything from Clone Wars to all four seasons of Rebels, including the seventh season of Clone Wars, which was pretty epic. And I think he's scored the most Star Wars out of anyone living, including John Williams. And
technically true, yeah. I didn't think about that, but you're totally right.
yeah. And... also, Dave Filoni will be producing The Bad Batch, and it's going to be written by Jennifer Corbett. I believe that's how you pronounce her name, and she's from Star Wars Resistance and NCIS. And Dee Bradley Baker, of course, is returning as the voice of all the clones. So I wonder if he's just going to get paid once or multiple times. I don't know. Ming-Na Wen is coming back, and that's confirmed now. So, yeah, we saw her in the trailer a while back, but... yeah, there's still the rumors out there that maybe other characters that we've seen in live action from The Mandalorian are going to reprise their roles and maybe get a little bit of Grogu being rescued during Order 66, possibly. Maybe. I think that would be a huge opportunity missed if they don't address that, because it's felt like the Bad Batch has not been the most anticipated Star Wars project, but it seems like after the trailer, the hype level did kind of go up. It went up for me, and then when they showed the connective tissue with Fennec Shand and just the animation style seemed like it got a whole lot more intense and just overall better. Sam, what are your thoughts on the Bad Batch and Kevin Kiner returning?
I mean, I'm excited for the Bad Batch. I mean, since the last season of Clone Wars, I've been at all time hype high level for more Clone Wars. So that's what the Bad Batch is. I was trying to think about them rescuing Grogu. In that, because I mean, you're right that it's the right timeline, it's the right time in the universe. It would bring attention certainly to that show, but I am kind of curious if they'd want to take that moment, which so many people are interested in, and do it in the Bad Batch. Because I feel like, regardless, the Bad Batch isn't going to be like a huge show in the same way like the Book of Boba Fett is, or Mandalorian, or Andor, or you know, obviously all the live action stuff is going to have a higher precedent. I feel like they would want to do that because people love Grogu in like one of those settings more than an animated show. I could be dead wrong, and obviously it would bring attention to the show if they brought Grogu back. So,
Rudy?
So, given what we've seen so far in the trailer of Bad Batch, we know that a lot of it takes place on Coruscant right after Order 66 was called. So the chances of them showing the rescue of Grogu is, I can see it. Like Sam said, I can see him wanting to do that more of a live action reveal, but it would make sense for them to do it on the Bad Batch, because a lot of the stuff they've done was animated and now they're just now bringing it to live action. And Bad Batch, man, I've been waiting for this. When they announced it, I was excited because I loved their two episodes in season 7. I thought it was diverse. It was great. And then Echo is one of my favorite clones too. So to see more of him is going to be great as well. I just wondering what the storyline is going to be. And, you know, a lot of fans always had that question too. What happened to the clones after Order 66? And we might get that answer with this series. You know, do they help other clones adjust to not being in the war and being decommissioned? You know, the possibilities are pretty endless with this. And have they announced how many seasons they're doing, or are they just playing it by ear?
I don't think they've announced how many seasons. I'm thinking it's just going to be one big, long season.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm thinking. But of course, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I think it pretty much depends on the popularity of the series. If it's like hugely popular, which I do think there is a chance that it might be because of the whole resurgence of the Clone Wars and Rebels after The Mandalorian, because the numbers for those shows were just huge for streaming on Disney Plus. So there could be a whole brand new kind of generation that's kind of embraced animation from Lucasfilm. So I mean, you never know.
One more thing. I told James this after the season finale of season 2, because he was really upset that Grogu went with Luke, because he was like, oh, we're not going to see any more Grogu in The Mandalorian. The Grogu is like the biggest thing to happen to Star Wars, you know, since Empire. There's no way that they're going to steer away from Grogu. So any chance that they have a chance to implement him in a new show, I think they're going to take it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Rudy. Grogu is going to be a staple of The Mandalorian. Even though Luke took him, they're going to figure out a way story-wise to write him back in. I mean, he's coming back.
I'm talking about across all the new shows as well. They can implement him in Ahsoka, in The Book of Boba Fett, in Bad Batch. If they can implement him some way or part of his story, it's going to draw fans to those shows.
Yeah. Ray, what are your thoughts on Bad Batch?
I'm really excited because, like you said, I loved their episodes in Clone Wars. And I, throughout watching all of Clone Wars, I cannot tell the clones apart in all of their names. Like, the little things that differentiate them, I just couldn't pick up on. And they all have the same voice, and they all look pretty much the same. So I'm super excited to get to see more clones, but actually know who they are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like watching them in the Clone Wars, just because they all are very different and distinct, and I'm really interested to see how they all work together.
So it's interesting that you said that, because like, I'm really big on character development, and like throughout the Clone Wars, you get introduced to a lot of clones, but by the time you make it to season 7, like, you kind of see the development and the personalities, and you kind of focus in on your favorite clones, whether it be Cody or Fives or Echo or Rex or, any one of those guys. And the development of them in Clone Wars is, I think, tremendous on how they did it. And so, like you said, going into this show, it's going to be great to see him with this batch of clones right here.
Yeah, I think as time goes on, I think we're going to probably get another trailer, and that's going to be the next thing after the High Republic first phase. And speaking of the High Republic, The Light of the Jedi is the number one best-selling book on the New York Times bestsellers list. And
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great achievement. I mean, it's a brand new Star Wars story, but it has all new characters. It takes place 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace, and it's at the height of the peak of the Jedi's powers and their kind of existence in the galaxy. And yeah, I finished the book this morning, and for me, I listened to it on Audible, and the production value that they give it on Audible is just ridiculously great. The guy that narrates the book, his name is Mark Thompson. He does the voices for every single character, and even the female characters. And the way he manipulates his voice for certain characters, it's just awesome to hear. And it fits so well with who you, because we have pictures of characters for the book, but he did such an incredible job, even towards the end when we get introduced to more characters. Some characters that we've seen before but just haven't heard, which the voice that he chose for those characters, to me, they were just spot on. I know, Rudy, you've read the book, or you've listened to it on Audible. What were your thoughts on the narration and the production quality and the book overall?
The production value was amazing. Like you said, the voice actor who read the book did all the voices. It was spot on. And you really, like, you know, I was going through the book and I would listen to these characters, and in my head, I'm like, okay, if they were going to make this into a live action series or film, like, what kind of, you know, actors would they place in these parts? And I can visually see some actors actually playing those parts just based off the voices he was giving us. But it was pretty incredible knowing that it was just him doing it. And then the production value with the even the score of the book, you know, when the scenes got really intense and everything was dramatic, the music changed and just the whole mood shifted. And then when the Jedi would come in, and like you said, they're at the peak and the height of the Jedi Order, so everything is supposed to be uplifting and upbeat. And it was well put together, very well produced.
Sam, I know you've read a few chapters there. What have you thought so far from what you've read about?
So far it's good. Like I said, I'm only 4 chapters in, so I've barely scratched the surface. So it's basically all been set up so far. I believe I'm listening to the exact same audiobook as you guys are. I'm listening to it through the Google Play Store, but Mark Thompson is my reader guy, so I think it's the same.
Okay, yeah, that's the same.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll add to it with the music and stuff. Production value is awesome. Like, I highly recommend listening to the audiobook if you haven't read it yet, just because it in my opinion, it adds a lot as opposed to just reading it. So excited to read more. Don't get me wrong. I'll try to get it done this week.
Yeah. It's, to me, it just got better and better and better. And like I said, there's way more character introductions than I thought there was going to be. I know you look at the cover, there's 4 Jedi on the cover. And I don't know, Ray, have you picked up the book? Have you, are you familiar with it?
I haven't. I usually wait until my library gets books because I have a really hard time buying a book before I read it,
mm-hmm.
In case I don't like it. But I do have it on hold at the library, so I'm waiting for that to come in.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I think it's a good starting off point. It's a very tough chore, I think, for a company to introduce this amount, I mean, this massive amount of characters and have them built out and give them all arcs. And we have the drawings of the characters, but to have Audible and then to have the physical novel, to read it, to listen to it, just to get that kind of context, it really feels like the Light of the Jedi could actually be a TV show. Now that I kind of think about it, I mean, just the amount of characters. A couple of my favorite characters are the Wookiee Jedi. And that almost sounds like a contradiction, you know, but the way that, I mean, you hear the Wookiee, his name is Buryaga, and you hear him talk on the audiobook on Audible. But the way that the narrator does it, he does the growl kind of up front, and then he speaks the English words, so you know exactly what he's saying. And the funny thing is that when you saw the original trilogy, you heard Chewbacca, and you kind of understood what he was saying through other characters when they would kind of respond to him. But that situation kind of exists in the book. The Wookiee Jedi is growling and no one understands what he's saying. They all kind of have to interpret what he's saying other than his master. So it's kind of one of those things where you kind of see what we all kind of went through in real life and in the film.
I think Buryaga is actually a Padawan in this book.
Yeah, I was saying his master is the only one that understands him. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's just cool that they had a Wookiee Jedi in there. And they have all kinds of species in the book. They have a Trandoshan in there, which is we first saw portrayed by Bosk in The Empire Strikes Back. And a few interesting things happened to him. And it's just cool to see all these characters. And I'm glad that they kind of started out this way. And I think it was a smart thing to start it this way. Introduce all these characters because there's going to be three phases of the High Republic to the point where we find out what actually happens to the Jedi and their kind of established presence in the galaxy leading up to the TV show The Acolytes. And it's kind of exciting. And Charles Soule actually did an interview where he talked about how this is pretty much like the very tip of the iceberg. These three the two books, The Light of the Jedi and A Test of Courage, and the comic book that was just released, and then Into the Dark is going to be released on February 2nd by Claudia Gray. And Charles Soule was saying that, yeah, this is just the tip of everything. And you talked about how they had an overall plan for the High Republic. So everything's kind of planned out, but there is leeway for people to add different things if they figure out a different set of characters, or if they get inspiration from anyone at Lucasfilm, or someone at Lucasfilm comes up with something new and they present it and it works, they incorporate it. There's actually a character that wasn't a part of the High Republic. He talks about they incorporated and kind of just weaved into the story. And I think that's pretty cool. I think Lucasfilm Publishing is making all the right moves here and being free to new ideas and having a plan. And all the authors for the High Republic, there's, I don't know if Rudy can help me out here, Charles Soule, Justina Ireland.
Let me see here.
I had, older.
I had a list of them. Let me see if I can find it.
Kayvon Scott, Claudia Gray, of course. I think I'm missing someone, but they all like talk to each other daily about the High Republic, and they have like their own Slack channel, Charles Soule was talking about, and they're just kind of building this from the ground up. And everything from Light of the Jedi, all the characters, I think Charles Soule actually came up with by himself. And excuse me. And all these characters are going to be referenced and used in other publishing for the High Republic. So it's a super exciting time.
It's also crazy to think about some of these characters in this book, like being actual physical characters on film someday. You know, like there might be some seriously beloved characters that we're being introduced to now. So, you know, it's kind of cool.
No, I agree. The characters they introduce here is going to be what the future of Star Wars is, especially with the new films that's going to be releasing. Anything that happens before the Skywalker saga is going to revolve around the characters that we're reading about. So it's pretty exciting to know that this is a completely different story. I remember getting the book and not really knowing what to expect. And I get a few pages in and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, this is a book. Like, this is a real book. Because, I mean, the plot thickens. There's a lot of character development. You start feeling for the characters. And then the way that the book ends is phenomenal.
Yeah, and if you don't have Audible, you can actually get the book on us.
For free.
Here's the link right here. audibletrial.com/stuffpodcast. So yeah. There's a 30-day free trial. You get one free book and you can make it Light of the Jedi and you can catch up to the High Republic. It just released. So there's not too much catch up and you can kind of stay in tune with everything that's being talked about on the podcast and on our Patreon, where we're pretty much going to highlight the first few chapters of Light of the Jedi tomorrow and release it tomorrow on Patreon. So there's a lot of stuff that it's super exciting right now at the beginning here. So
I think James said it first. I mean, as fans, we're all experiencing this for the first time. This is a whole new story for Star Wars, all new characters. None of us really know what's happening or what's going to happen. And it's kind of cool that us as a fandom, like the entire fandom, can experience all this together when we read these books.
So, Ray, you actually took a trip to Galaxy's Edge.
I did. Yes.
You want to kind of talk about that and make Rudy and I jealous here?
Sure.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
My friend did a lot of research before we went to make sure we could go on Rise of the Resistance, and we had an extra day in our trip so we could possibly get extra tickets to Hollywood Studios to try again if we didn't the first day. And so we woke up at 6:50 and started refreshing the screen to try and get into a boarding group, and we got one right away. And I think it sold out within 10 seconds, maybe less.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, but we were boarding group 3. So, we arrived at the park and just went, we booked it straight to Rise of Resistance and got on right away. And, like, I was expecting it to be, like, pretty cool, but it is completely immersive. And, like, because usually, like, there's animatronics that you're watching for a ride, but most of them is just real people, and, like, you're moving through something, so it's very interactive. And I got a sweatshirt for Christmas that's a Varsity jacket, and so it says Skywalker on the back. And, of course, you go to a First Order ship, and there's First Order crew people there walking around. And one of them came up behind me and said to his friend, "Looks like we have another wannabe Skywalker over here." And so I was like, "Oh, this is not a good look." And I said to my friend a little loudly, "What?"
They interrogate you after that?
A little bit. I said to my friend, "Man, it really doesn't help me that my name is Ray." And the guy just looks me right in the eye and says, "I don't like you even more now," and just walks away.
Wow.
So that was, and then, like, you move through it instead of riding through it for some of it. And it's just like, everything's to scale and really high quality. And I was just amazed by it. And right after that, we went on to Smuggler's Run. And there's two pilot positions, and I was one of the pilots. And my friend, who's the other pilot, I think played too many video games where you have to hit the target, because he plowed us into every building and, like, rock, mountain, all of it. And it's a simulation, so the whole thing is just rocking the entire time. So I would like to go on that ride again with somebody who knows how to pilot. Because I did almost lose my breakfast on the Millennium Falcon, which would have been interesting.
Oh, Colin and I got it down. So
yeah, I will definitely have to ride along with you guys sometime. That'd be amazing.
So
I got to see the Falcon, and I was absolutely speechless. I do believe I have my friend recorded my reaction to seeing it. And then I got to try blue milk, which is actually the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Did you get it with alcohol or without alcohol?
Without.
Okay. It's almost the best thing you've ever had.
Yeah. It's really hard to explain the taste, because I was expecting like some kind of like flavored milk, but it's more of like a slushy consistency, and it's like fruity. But that's also not a really good description of it. So it's really hard, and I really want someone to crack the recipe so I can make it at home.
There's probably clone recipes online.
Yeah, I found a bunch of them.
Okay.
I just got to try making all of them and see what happens.
Let me know if you figure it out.
I will. Yeah, so we wandered around the rest of Hollywood Studios and then ended up coming back to Galaxy's Edge and just kind of like hanging out there for a bit. Rey and Chewie were out up on like a balcony area. So I got to see them. And then the new character whose name I cannot recall, she has blue hair.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Is it Vi? It starts with a V. I feel really bad.
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Sam doesn't know.
She was down by like the speeders in the garage area, and nobody was around, so I got to chat with her for like 5 minutes, and that was really cool. Made me really miss trooping and doing that sort of thing. But yeah, I got to wander Batuu for like an hour by myself while my friends went on some roller coasters, and
wow,
it was so nice just taking it all in. Because, like, it's a small area, but there's so many details. And, like, there's English on the writings and everything. But, like, the trash cans are all marked in Arbesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of, like, was wandering around seeing if I could read stuff and trying to figure out what they said. But
Vimorati or Vimorati? I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's V or Vi.
I'm mad about not knowing that.
Ask I know. She was really cool. She was a lot of fun to chat with.
Cool. Super cool.
Well, that's cool. Did you happen to buy anything at Galaxy?
I got a lot of pins.
Oh, cool.
And then when we were in Disney Springs, I met up with Colin, and we went into one of the Star Wars trading posts, and I got Sabacc. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I'm interested to see if I can learn it.
Yeah, we actually have a video, I think, on Patreon where I think Colin, Brooke, Matt play Sabacc. And yeah, it seems like a lot of fun when you have a lot of people. It seems like a really fun game to play.
Yeah.
It's a little broken as far as like gambling games go, but I mean, it's fun. I wouldn't put real money on it. It's not a great
only credits.
Exactly. Only credits.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it's a fun game. I'm glad that they like canonized it and they actually have a rule set and it's consistent with what you see in Solo. But as far as like an actual like poker game goes, it's a little broken. That's all. There's not enough like strategy to it, and like it's I don't know. It's good. If Colin heard me talking crap on it, he'd
well, yeah, because I'm not the greatest at strategy games.
Yeah, I can totally hear Colin right now talking about the bot in the next podcast. Well, actually, guys, what Sam was talking about. Yeah, it's interesting the fact that you can actually play a Star Wars fictional game in real life, and there's real rules, and you can actually get a functional game going. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And
so, Sam, I know you had a big week outside of in reality with Star Wars. And you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So after like, I don't even know, 4 or 5 months, I finally finished my Short Trooper costume, which is pretty cool. The helmet's right there. You know, and then the last piece I did pull it out. Oh man, sorry, Grogu. It's my 22 blaster. So yeah, so it's fully 3D printed, glued together, and then I did the painting and all the weathering and stuff on it. But wow, that was the last piece of the puzzle, and I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. So
dude, that looks awesome, Sam. That looks awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
how much there? Commissions, because I might need you to make me a Naboo pistol.
I don't have everything in the room, but here's like the abdomen parts. You can see some of the weathering stuff on it. So stupid amounts of time put into that project, but and the next thing, which I'm hoping to do, is the tray and cup from Mandalorian. What is it, chapter 15? you see the short trooper with the tray and cup. So I'm working on it. So that's what I've been working on. It's been a serious.
I think that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I've seen all those memes too. I just wanted to enjoy my lunch.
I'm on the Shore Trooper Facebook page, Shore Trooper fan. You guys should join it if you guys have any aspirations to make a Shore Trooper costume. Those guys will set you up. But I'm amazed, like, nobody's done the Tray Trooper is what I call it. I was able to, one guy had files for the cup. I had to rescale them and stuff a little bit. Here's the first try of the cup, which is way too big. So I scaled it down into some things, and then I found the tray on Amazon, and I added some magnets to the bottom of the cups.
I was going to say, is that cup magnetized?
Yes, it is. So yeah, I can do
so
fun stuff with it. Yeah, whatever.
So you should really go to exciting events, just dressed up as the tray trooper, just standing there in the back, holding the tray.
Photobomb stuff in the background. That was great.
Yeah, just awkwardly like walk into rooms and then like look at people and walk out.
It'll be like that David Tennant where he shouldn't be, where they just Photoshop David Tennant's face into different photos. We'll just Photoshop you into different photos.
Oh my god, that's amazing! That made my day. I'm just imagining it right now.
Yeah, so I need to paint the tray and cup. Tray needs to be. It's funny because the tray needs to be black and the cup needs to be silver. So I need to switch them. But then. The Shore Trooper costume will be officially done. So,
okay, when it's officially done and you've got that tray, I need a photo of you, full body, and I'm just gonna cut you out and paste you into different
everywhere. Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna happen.
But that's fun. It's been a great thing.
So yeah, I think there's an opportunity there, Ray, for you to take our logo and have the Tray Trooper in the logo. So.
Done. I will do it.
Perfect. Yeah. So Rudy, I know that you got some pretty cool Star Wars stuff this week.
So I've ordered a few things. First thing I got was my Poe X-Wing here. It 176 pieces. I literally put it together in one night. I don't know how I did it, how I stayed awake. And then I got the Bible of the trilogy. This thing is ridiculous. So apparently Paul Duncan archived everything from the original trilogy 4, 5, and 6. And he did the same thing for 1, 2, and 3. And so there's behind the scene photos in here. There's original concept art. There's excerpts from the scripts and from the original first drafts and second drafts. There's interviews with the actors, with George Lucas. And apparently, like, this version, the original version of this is like the size of like a cutting board. It's like $200 on Amazon. It's ridiculous. And this one was like $20. So I got this. It's actually really thick. I haven't had a chance to actually physically go through it and read some of it, but like, I just saw some pages with like the first draft of George Lucas's script, and it's you read through it and you're just like, you know, it's nothing like what you saw on screen. And then you start to wonder, okay, how did he get from here to here? And then, you know, what the transition was.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. So this week in my Star Wars life, I didn't go out at all, but my wife went out to go do some shopping, and she asked me if I wanted anything. I said, well, if you come across some Star Wars stuff, send me a picture and I'll tell you if I want it or not. So she sent me some pictures.
I got to get me a wife.
So she sent me some pictures that she went. There's a place called, I don't know if they're in Michigan, but they're called Dirt Cheap. It's actually almost like a level below Ross and TJ Maxx. They get like all this stuff that doesn't sell from like the other big chain stores. And I don't know. There are other like rules and reasoning why certain things are there. I guess stuff that was going to get discarded didn't get discarded, just got shipped there. And I actually bought a BB-8 that's on my shelf that was, I think, retail price was like $150. I got it for like $30. But she found a Porg that a single Porg in that whole big place. She didn't buy that, but she sent me a second picture. I decided not to go with the Porg. I decided to go with something else that I've seen commercials of my whole life, ever since I was a little kid. I mean, it was one of the most annoying commercials on TV. And I always thought, why would you even buy this? Why do people buy this thing? I mean, it's, to me, it didn't seem like, I mean, something you would, it was almost like, I mean, yeah, the novelty of it. Yeah, you buy it. Yeah, it's like a gag gift or whatever. But it's almost like the equivalent to like a pet rock from like the 80s and 90s when I grew up. But I'm 39 years old. I finally broke down. I got one. I told my wife, yeah, just buy it. Might as well just buy it. And I got the box for it. And I'll show it to you right now. Here it is.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, we kind of set it up. It's in the kitchen right now. It's in like a little water tray, and hopefully it grows out and I'll show the finished product. But yeah, Chia Pets have been around my whole life. And I mean, I could probably recite the song from the commercial word for word. I mean, yeah, it's like embedded. Yeah, I didn't want to do it, Rudy. But, okay. So yeah, the other thing I got in the mail was I went to MandoMonday.com and I bought several things, and I think the first thing that showed up, I think it's the first thing, it's the 3.5 inch scale of the Mandalorian, and he is with child.
With child.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that's, it's a 3.5 awesome inch figure.
Is it as small as mine? I got this one.
He actually might be a little bit smaller, maybe, or maybe it's the same one.
Scale to this figurine, so
yeah.
Actually, I think yours might be smaller, David. That looks a lot smaller than what you have, Ray.
So yeah, he's just a little bit bigger than the head of a 3.5 inch figure.
Yeah, the ice cream maker too, which is
freaking. Yeah, awesome. The Camtono. Yeah.
That's I looked cool online. You can get really close ones to the ice cream maker on like the actual ice cream maker on Amazon, yeah, for like $30-$40. So I'm thinking my next costume is going to be a Rebel pilot, and I'm going to do the what's his name, like the Willow.
I'd only know him as the ice cream man.
You know what was his name?
Willow Hood.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'll get the ice cream maker.
Yeah, they do the running of the Willows at every celebration, so you get your costume ready for 2022.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Celebration happens. So yeah, and the other thing, of course, I got Rudy got one as well. The Light of the Jedi, the High Republic novel,
mm-hmm,
got it in physical form. So yeah, I'll be marking this up just like Rudy for notes when we do our Patreon podcast, and we go in depth and we do a deep dive on it. So that's pretty much all I got, I think, this week. So, yeah, like I said, I didn't go out at all. I just stayed home, worked from home, quarantined. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Does anyone else Ray have anything?
Did Ray get anything cool, maybe?
I did. So I have been wanting to make Rey's outfit from the end of The Last Jedi, her brown tunic. And the original brown tunic fabric is really fancy stuff from a place called Mood, and it sold out. And then like it took them 4 years to come with a reproduction of it, but they made it in polyester, so it's super shiny and it doesn't look like cotton, which it should be. And I just couldn't bring myself to spend the same amount of money on the cheaper looking polyester. And I finally managed to track down enough yards of the original screen accurate material to be able to finally build this costume. So I have, it's in cream, not in brown, so it will have to be dyed, but it's the original material and it'll have the right like look and everything. And so I am just incredibly excited and nervous because that's one of her costumes that I want the most, aside from the scavenger ray, which I already have. And then on Christmas, I told my mom I wasn't planning on doing episode 9 Rey because it's all white, it's pretty intimidating, and it's all new pieces. So I was like, yeah, I'll just take the linen boots off of my Christmas list. And she's like, okay. And I said that the day before they arrived in the mail. And shipping them back is over $200. So I have Rey boots now.
You have to do it now.
So I might have to just cave and make that costume, which I would love to do, but so much white really intimidates me.
Out of curiosity, how many Rays are there like in like the Rebel Legion?
There are so many, and they got so many applications around the premiere of The Force Awakens that Rey has her own judges. So usually there's judges for categories. So like there's a Galactic Republic judge who does like all of Padme, all of Leia, and like any senatorial kind of people. Rey, it has judges for just Rey.
Gotcha.
Cool. So there's a lot of them.
Gotcha. It's an awesome costume, especially Force Awakens. So I guess I get it, but
yeah.
Were you thinking about doing Rey, Sam?
I was thinking about it. Yeah. I don't know if I
should.
I don't have the fabric. It's my issue. Oh, shucks. So,
hey, I made my first Jakku Rey for like $40 total.
Well, you're more talented than me, so there you go.
I can help you out. Let's do this.
Wow. And Rudy, what costume are you going to be working on here?
What costume? No costume at all. I don't know. I haven't even thought about making
Droopy
a costume.
McCool? That's my first vote.
Which Droopy one? McCool.
Droopy McCool from the Max
Rebo. The Max Rebo band? Max Rebo. The guy that plays the flute? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He has, like, no eyes.
It's, like, kind of big. Yeah. Awesome, man. I didn't know his name for years, and then I stumbled across his name. Like, no way!
And so I would probably do it just for the name. I mean, no one would ever know, but they would know the name.
Yeah, it's a pretty rad name.
Yeah, I say all of this about working on new costumes in front of my still unfinished Sabé, just staring me down.
Yeah, that looks pretty rad.
It looks really rad. I was looking at it earlier when you were talking. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to restyle the wig, and I have to connect the two pieces of the headdress, and then it's done. So I'm super close. I just need to get the motivation to do it.
There you go.
All right, we're going to give you that assignment, Ray. Finish your Sabé costume. There's the motivation.
Oh, okay. No pressure.
Yeah. So when we do a future podcast, you're going to have to like show up and wear it for the podcast. Maybe we'll do a podcast where we're all in costume.
Oh, that'd actually be really cool.
Yeah.
Well, it would be great practice for me because I'm going to have to talk different when I wear that makeup because my lips won't be able to meet because the top one is red and the bottom one is white.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
So that'll be interesting. And I'll need a lot of practice for that. So I'm down.
Is that like true? Like, I mean, obviously that's just a reality of having a top lip. That's
I don't know how they do it in the movie. I did find some sort of like setting liquid that does help and it doesn't transfer as bad, but there still is some transfer and my bottom lip ends up being pink anyway.
Gotcha. Interesting.
That's you ever thought about doing a Night Sisters costume from Clone Wars?
I haven't.
Because that's what you have back there is like really close to what they almost wear.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
probably be a lot easier to source than finding striped velvet burnout fabric.
Might be.
Took me 4 months.
Oh, wow.
All right. So, yeah, I have a New Hope TIE pilot that I've had for a little while. That's what got me into the 501st. So we have a TIE pilot, a short trooper, and we have Sabe. So Rudy is the only one without a costume. So I'm going to tell our listeners right now to email us at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com and let us know what costume Rudy should work on.
Let me know. I'll do it.
So I think we have one, maybe two votes for Droopy McCool. I don't know, Ray, what do you recommend?
Yeah, do it.
Droopy.
Do it.
Droopy.
Okay. You know, I've never seen a Droopy McCool out there.
You don't want to see a Droopy McCool.
Hey, Max Rebo cosplay was scary enough.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Dude, that costume is horrid. You really want to make that costume?
You just looked it up, didn't you?
I'd rather do the Max Rebo than the Droopy McCool.
See, with the Max Rebo, I think you would need like air conditioning built in, because you have like the big like stumpy legs and you have like the big like stomach. I mean, it could possibly get kind of hot in there. But with the Droopy McCool, you're a little thinner. I think the mouth is like thinner, open. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's not definitely not thinner.
You could probably get a fan system in there if you really.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a friend who does Muff Tack, and she wears an ice pack bodysuit.
Wow,
nice.
Oborancesis would be another vote of mine if you're looking for
Oborancesis.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, sure. I do. Nice.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Oppo pretty soon, I think, on the podcast.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's the Jedi that has like a snake body.
Yeah, I want to see him in combat. That's the one thing I'm pushing for. Maybe. Apparently, he survived Order 66.
Yeah, he did survive Order 66. Mm-hmm. So he is around.
We'll see a story.
So you, a little spoiler, you'll hear Oborancesis in Light of the Jedi.
Oh shoot! Oh really? That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he doesn't get a battle scene. But you will hear him speak and talk in the book.
Cool. There you go.
And to me, he sounded like I thought he would sound.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Well, we hear him talking Clone Wars, I believe. And he's in a couple scenes. There's one where he's walking around the Jedi Temple.
Yeah. And according to the chart that they released for the book, I think he's actually one of three of the Grand Masters, four of the Jedi. It's him, Yoda, and I always forget the third one. What was the third one? It was the...
No, Obo's not a Grand Master. He's just a Master, and he's on the Council, I think. Or maybe he's not on the council yet.
He's Padawan to Yaddle, I believe.
Yeah.
My understanding.
I think that's correct.
I don't know where he was during Fallen Order. I haven't gotten there in that book yet. But
yeah. So, yeah, I'll do my best James impersonation. I think that's all we have for this week, unless anyone has something else they want to add.
I don't think so. I think I don't have anything else, at least.
No, I'm good.
Ray, any more stories from Galaxy's Edge?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I think it's just Rudy and myself that haven't been to Galaxy's Edge. So
I'm going in March if you guys want to come out. We could all actually for it, though. That'd be freaking awesome.
So yeah, Colin did invite us to go for May 4th. Yeah, Rudy wasn't on the text chain yet, but yeah, no. Colin did invite us to go May 4th for Star Wars Day. So wouldn't that be pretty epic to do our podcast from Galaxy's Edge?
That would be pretty epic, and I actually my stuff I can transport and do remote locations. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so it's something we might do. I don't know, but yeah, like always, find us on Instagram at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. You can also find us and follow us on Twitter at StuffPod. And we're also on TikTok, where you can see some super rad Sabe cosplay. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a page and a group where we're constantly updating. Every single day, we drop a meme or two. It's usually about two or three memes. And the latest news, you can find it there. I'm always going to be posting that stuff there. And of course, Patreon, we have a huge Light of the Jedi High Republic book review coming up, and you can follow along with us. We're going to deep dive. We're going to talk about stuff that I don't think anyone else is really talking about. Yeah, a lot of people have done reviews, but they've done just one podcast, and it's like there's so much stuff to talk about that, yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily have to talk about the whole book, but you can. There's other connective tissue, like we just mentioned Oppo. You could talk about his involvement. There's a lot of stuff. We all have different opinions on the book, I'm pretty sure. So, of course, Patreon at Star Wars Stuff Podcast 2187. And, of course, email us. Tell us what you want to see Rudy wear in the future on the podcast.
Star Wars Celebration 2022, that's our cutoff. So that's where...
yeah, that's... well, I think we want to give him a little bit more time than right up to Celebration. But I want to say 3 months advance notice.
How long did you wait to do, like Jabba? How long would it take to make a Jabba costume?
Jesus. Like, to scale or not to scale? Like,
oh, to scale, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's the greatest character ever. You can just walk around and celebrate.
I mean, to scale, you're probably going to look at least a month just to get it right. But I actually know a guy who's an artist who can actually probably do it for me for a pretty decent cost.
Oh, shoot. I mean, I think we need a separate Patreon just for that.
It can be on the fans only. Don't worry about it.
So, of course, you can find us, follow us, subscribe to audibletrial.com/stuffpodcast and get this book for free in audio form, and join us along for the ride for the High Republic. And please, if you have a chance to, go to Apple Podcasts, write us a review, give us 5 stars. I think what we're going to do here in the future is do a giveaway for someone that gave us a review, a written review with 5 stars in the future. We haven't decided on what exactly yet or when we're going to do it, but I think we're going to draw someone randomly from there. So everyone has an opportunity to win something from there. So we just haven't decided exactly when we're going to do the drawing and what we're going to give away. Hopefully we give away something that is along the likes of maybe like a sideshow figure. So that's what I'm hoping for. So for everyone here, Sam, Rudy, Ray, my name's David. May the Force be with you.
Always.
Always.
This is the way.